everyone, there's only so much time in the day. That's why we edited this Vermont Edition podcast for brevity. I know you'll thank us. This is Vermont Edition, and I'm Bob Kinsel. Under normal circumstances, by the third week of May, most Major League Baseball teams would have already played 50 games in their six-month schedule. But the ballparks are empty because of health and safety concerns surrounding the coronavirus. Well, now Major League Baseball is proposing that a short season start at the beginning of July, but there won't be anybody in the stands. Today on Vermont Edition, we've got our All-Star Baseball panel with us to explore this idea and other important issues affecting the world of baseball. With us are VPR's Mitch Wertlieb, VPR's Amy Noyes, and also Kurt Wright, who's a key part of the morning drive heard weekday mornings on WVMT. Hey, it's great to have you all back under tough circumstances, but great to have you.
Thanks, Bob.
Thank you, Bob.
Hi, Bob.
So all of us are big baseball fans. It fills an important part of our lives. So my question for all of you is, how have you survived this spring without baseball? How hard has it been? Have you found some acceptable substitutes? Mitch, how about you?
Well, wiffle ball in the backyard has been fun. You know, that's what I've been doing, playing with my daughter in the backyard and imagining, you know, that I'm, you know, Carlton Fisk hitting that that game-winning home run in the 12th inning of the 1975 Game 6 World Series. Watching old baseball on television when they play some of the old games, it's really kind of cool to go back and see and be reminded just how good Pedro Martinez was. I watched him pitch a game against the New York Yankees. I'm sure Kurt Wright will remember this one, in which he gave up but one hit. It was a home run to Chili Davis, but then he went on. Yeah, like 17 strikeouts after that. So that's how I've been dealing with it. But do I miss the regular games and this rhythm of the season, as you talked about, Bob, with 50 games about should have been played already? I sure do.
Amy, how about you?
Yeah, I miss it as well, of course. I have to say the lack of spring weather has helped a little. I tend to watch baseball on my back porch, and it hasn't really been warm enough to sit back there most evenings anyway. So that helps. But like Mitch, I've been watching some classic games. I tuned into the KBO this weekend, and that was fun. So I think I'll be watching some more Korean baseball before July comes around.
That's who we find out who the real hardcore baseball fans are, I think, is who is turning to Korean baseball. I know it's on ESPN, and I want to talk about Korean baseball in just a little bit. But Amy, cat's out of the bag on that one. And I have to admit, I've seen a couple of innings of Korean baseball myself. A little weird with nobody in the stands. Kurt, how have you been surviving without baseball?
Well, first, I am a huge baseball fan, and it doesn't define me that I am not watching Korean baseball. So, but I have been watching, as Mitch said, I've been watching some classic games on MLB, but I find myself more watching the replay of the 1978 October 2nd playoff game between the Red Sox and the Yankees over and over again, Mitch.
I don't recall that one. 1978, maybe? I'm just taking a guess there.
Yes, 1978, but honestly, I also did go back and watch the classic Game 6 of the 1975 World Series, and it was a lot of fun to go back and watch that. I hadn't seen it in decades, literally. And, of course, we all remember Carlton Fisk with the waving the ball, with the body language, keeping it fair. But then you remember Bernie Carbo's big home run in the eighth inning to tie the game up, to set up the Fisk home run.
Yeah, pinch hit home run, as a matter of fact.
And there was a point when the Red Sox had the winning run at third with nobody out, and I'm trying to remember, how did they not win the game right here?
Yes.
Double play from George Foster in the outfield, and an incredible catch by Dwight Evans.
Great game.
So some great, going back and watching some great classic games. I also read a book by John Pessa on Yogi Berra, which we talked about. We actually interviewed the author on our show. Great book about Yogi Berra. And but I have to say, though, there was a point this spring, it was cool, it was cold, but I also was thinking that it just did not seem like spring, and it wasn't just the cold, it was for the first time in my life, over 50 years following baseball at least, that there's no baseball games. and it really didn't feel like spring to me.
Well, let's go right to this idea for Major League Baseball. They want to have a shortened season this year, play maybe an 80-game schedule starting the 4th of July. Nobody in the stands at the outset. The games will take place in empty stadiums. What do you think of this plan, Amy?
It's better than no baseball. I think, you know, as I said, I watched a couple of the Korean games, and there's no fans in the stands there. It's weird, but it's still baseball. It's something.
Kurt, what do you think?
Well, again, Korean baseball is not doing it for me. I want to see the players that I know that are playing here against the teams that we're all familiar with. I think it's better than nothing. I think it's going to be weird having no fans in the stands, but I'm not opposed to them creating noise or having, you know, doing different things to make it seem a little more normal. But I mean, it is better than nothing. It's going to be good to see baseball back. But I'll tell you, there's a big hang-up right now, and it's between the management and the union. And if they come up with a plan that works as far as keeping players safe, but they get hung up over salary, which I'm hearing is a possibility, that is going to be a black eye for baseball for, I think, many years to come, like the strike in 94 was. And one more comment is Blake Snell of Tampa Bay, a Cy Young winner a couple years ago, made some of the most outrageous comments saying that unless he gets his money, he's not going back even if they come up with a plan because he's risking his life. And it's like, listen, we have people risking their lives in grocery stores, that are in hospitals, et cetera, that are making a lot less money than you, even if you're taking a pay cut. And I think Blake Snell ought to just keep his yap shut.
Well, he wasn't the only one, Kurt. That comment was followed up by Bryce Harper saying he agreed with Blake Snell.
Agree.
Yeah.
Same for Bryce Harper. I mean, that is, if that's representative of baseball, and I hope it's not, that was pretty disgusting.
So, Mitch, what are your thoughts about this shortened season?
Well, I'm going to break with my friends here and say I actually think that playing a shortened season would be worse than nothing. I don't want it. I don't want any baseball to be played this year in an official, quote-unquote, official capacity. And you know what's surprising to me, Bob, is not that they want to play a shortened season, they want to start around July and still have a World Series and playoffs. That doesn't surprise me at all because it's all about money. What surprises me is how angry it makes me. I mean, it really, really makes me angry. And it following up a little bit on what Kurt said here, you're talking about Blake Snell and Bryce Harper saying, well, we're not going to play if they're going to cut our pay, you know, that sort of thing. They're putting the players at risk. They're putting the coaching staff at risk, all the traveling secretaries, all the people that need to go to these various empty ballparks. They'd all have to be tested every day. They're putting so many hundreds, if not thousands, of people at risk here. Plus, even under the best circumstances, if there was no COVID-19, if we had a vaccine tomorrow, if you play an 81-game season or whatever it's going to be, and you go through the playoffs and you have a World Series winner, that is never going to be a legitimate World Series winner, ever. And everybody will know there's an asterisk next to that team that wins. It's nonsense. It's nonsense, and I don't want to see it. I miss baseball like everybody who loves baseball misses it. I'm crazy about it. I want it back. I don't want it back in this half-you-know-what way. Do not want it. Don't start the season.
So I'm going to side with you, Mitch, and say that I really don't want the season to start in July either. I'm trying to think to myself, what is the major motivation for Major League Baseball to have a shortened season, a three-month season? Is it to bring baseball to the fans and to give people around the country a diversion from the coronavirus?
Nope.
I'm not so sure. I think money is the number one thing, is how can they salvage the season and still make a lot of money in the process? And for all the reasons that you just mentioned, Mitch, I'm with you. I'd say just bag this thing until next April sometime and start a regular season all over again.
Totally agree.
Let's talk to some of our listeners and start off with Andrew in Burlington. Hey, Andrew, welcome to the program.
Hello. Great episode. I was just going to say, to fill the void of baseball, I have been rewatching, as I do every spring, all 9 VHSs of Ken Burns Baseball.
Yes.
And it has been incredible, and I would highly recommend it to anyone.
Oh, it's the best.
Good tip.
I mean, I can watch that. You know, I've watched it a bunch of times, and it never gets old. Every single episode is fascinating. Wonderful idea, Andrew.
Andrew, that is a great idea. I think you're going to send us all to watching it in the next week or so.
Yeah.
If you've got some thoughts about how you've been surviving the baseball season or the lack of the baseball season, give us a call at 1-800-639-2211. Maybe you've got a tip. I didn't think of the Ken Burns series that Andrew just mentioned. What a great idea. Perhaps you've got some tips that have been helping you through. Let us know about them at 1-800-639-2211. And what are your thoughts about this shortened season? We have a panel here that's a little split on this idea, from one point of view being at least some baseball is better than no baseball, and another point of view saying, nah, let's wait until next year for any baseball to start. What are your thoughts about that? Once again, our phone number is 1-800-639-2211. Let's talk to Elizabeth in Burlington. Hi, Elizabeth. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. First, as far as the shortened season, it's definitely not good, but I think the players really need the opportunity to keep in their skills, their reflexes, because otherwise there's going to be like a flood of injuries at the beginning of 2021. Anybody who's gone back to the gym after a long time understands, or else we'll have Keystone Cops, and I wouldn't like that either. So I think there's value for the players. Now, for me, what I really miss is the social. I've lived in various cities. I've loved baseball in every one of them, and you know, when 7 o'clock comes at night, I get on with my friends on Facebook, and we're all watching our various teams. We're commenting on our various events, and it's just a wonderful community and connection, whether it's family or friends. And the season's long. I'm kind of happy not to have a whole 162 games plus the postseason, but I sure do miss that nightly ritual with my friends.
Elizabeth, we appreciate your comments very much, and I think there are a lot of people who feel the same way about going to a local baseball game with their friends, being able to watch the Lake Monsters or the Mountaineers, or even some of our local high school baseball and softball games. They really are social events. Kurt, you said something that I just wanted to follow up on, and it had to do with the fact that there wouldn't be any fans in the stands at the beginning around the 4th of July if that shortened season does start. And I thought you said something like, well, maybe there's some way to create some noise. Are you thinking going back to the old days where we had sort of our applause meter? It's sort of likening it to the laugh track on sitcoms. Remember when everyone would start laughing and screaming, and that was telling you that it was the time to laugh. Are you thinking some sort of noise machine might be in these major league games?
Well, possibly. I mean, it wouldn't be real, but it wouldn't bother me if it gave the feel of that there were fans there. And I just want to add on to, here's another reason why I disagree with Mitch on this, is while I'm not thrilled about the idea of it, and having no fans there, I'm hoping there's still hope that at some point during the season fans will be included. But if you go back to 1981, there was a strike-shortened season, and it was cut into thirds. We missed a third of the season. Now, they did have fans, but we hope fans will come back later this year. But there was a World Series that year, and we all could not wait until the baseball season got started again. I know I couldn't. And you maybe look back at that World Series and say that it was tainted, but everybody counts that World Series in 1981. And the other thing about baseball is it is a huge stat game. I love stats in baseball. And to have every player have to lose a whole year's worth of stats, I want to have them at least have a half year to build stats up. I mean, you have players that are at the end of their career, some of them, so, and maybe approaching some milestone. No, I think it is definitely better than nothing. So I completely disagree. And Are they doing it for the wrong reason? I don't know. But they have already lost a whole lot of money, and why not let them make some money? I don't have any problem with that. And in fact, it will do something for the psyche of the of the American people. There are people risking their lives in a real way, out in hospitals, et cetera. For baseball players to be out in the field, they're young, they're athletic, they're strong. They're not risking their lives. And it's going to be kept very, very safe. They're going to have protocol that is going to be kept safe for everybody, far more than it is for people in grocery stores and hospitals.
I just don't think that's true, Curtin. There's been no evidence that that's the case. They don't have a plan for this.
Yes, they do.
They don't. They don't have a plan that is going to keep people as safe as having a plexiglass partition between you and getting the groceries as you check out. If you have a player who, for whatever reason, tests negative, but isn't negative, and they slide into second base, and there's a play at second base, and those two players are together, you can easily pass that virus on to that other player. And your point about 1981 is a good point, and you're right, nobody considers that necessarily a tainted season, but that was not a season that was dealing with a worldwide global pandemic either. And there are precedents for this happening in other sports. There was no Stanley Cup handed to any team in 1919. In fact, they were trying to play the final that year, but a pandemic that we all know broke out then, that canceled that season. There was no winner then. There was no winner in the 2005 NHL season because of a lockout. And as you said, Kurt, 1994, of course, there was no World Series winner for all the wrong reasons there. No one's going to convince me, though, that this isn't being done by Major League Baseball for one reason and one reason only, and that's money. They do not care one whit about the national psyche or pastime, and they've shown that over and over again with the incredible greed that's been shown not only by the owners but by the players and with everybody involved. And I do not want to see players or anybody out there risking their lives before we even know, or before we're even through the summer and into the fall, what this virus can really do.
They're not in a high-risk category. I mean, these are
it's not nothing to do with
people categories. It does,
too. No, it doesn't.
I don't think you two are ever going to agree on this.
It's got nothing to do with categories. Yes. Everybody's at risk. Young people have died from this. Old people have died from
this. Yes, but there are people that are in a high-risk category.
Let me just switch the conversation, since I don't think you two are going to come to an agreement on this. Amy, you talked about watching the Korean League. And they have some interesting rule changes there that might be adopted by Major League Baseball in a short season. Number one, they have a designated hitter all the time in the Korean leagues. And if Major League Baseball starts up in July, they're talking about having a designated hitter in the National League, where it does not exist right now, because there are going to be so many interleague games, they've got to have a designated hitter, or so they think. Also, in the Korean League, if a game reaches 12 innings, it's considered a tie. And I thought I saw something about Major League Baseball trying to do something to make sure that they don't get into these 16, 17, 18 inning games in a short season. What do you think about some of these rule changes for Major League Baseball?
Well, I think if you're going to experiment, now is the time to do it. I mean, we can all admit that this is not going to be any sort of a normal season. The stats may or may not count. So why not experiment with some of these things that we've been talking about for years, you know, trying to tighten the games up, making them more appealing to a younger audience who maybe doesn't want to sit through a 16-inning game. And the DH conversation has been going on forever. I think obviously the National League teams would be at a little bit of a disadvantage since they haven't recruited for a DH, but I think it's a good time to experiment with things like that. I would love to see a DH on every team.
Let's talk to Robin in Burlington.
Hi, thank you. So, I actually am not a baseball fan. I was raised being forced to watch it, and I don't enjoy it. But I would like to see a baseball season, because my father is 90 years old, and he's living in an assisted living facility, where right now they have no visitors. They're no longer having communal dining. And so as bad as it is for those of us who are living at home and still going out for walks and eating with our family, I think it's much worse for folks in assisted living. My father told me, he gets the New York Times, and he said to me early on in all this, he said, well, it's interesting what the New York Times is doing in the sports section and the art section. They're talking about past games that were amazing and art things. And I said to him, oh, that sounds interesting. And he said, no, I lived that already. So I feel like it would be a real benefit to some folks who are trying to cope with COVID-19 and the impact on their life.
Right on.
I don't... I also don't think, I don't think they're doing it for altruistic reasons. I don't think the Major League Baseball is looking at it the same way I am. I also don't think it's as dangerous for the players as it is for a grocery store worker. I think it's safe for me to go in the grocery store because I'm in there for 15 minutes. An employee in the store is exposed to all of us for an eight-hour day.
Right on again.
Yeah, and the players and the staff and all the other people who have to attend the dugouts and do all the little things that we don't see behind the scenes are going to be exposed to, plus the travel. They all have to travel according to this Major League Baseball plan. They all have to get on planes. What I'm wondering is, would it be okay to play some of these games in one location? Just do it like spring training, because we had the caller Elizabeth before who was saying these players need to, you know, they need to keep their skills up. They need to get out there and basically work out and play some baseball. I wouldn't mind seeing that. Play a little spring training, make it a spring training schedule, but these games shouldn't count. There's no way they should count, and they shouldn't have anything to do with determining a World Series winner. This is over, folks. I hate to tell you, but this is over.
They should count.
It's done.
Count just like they did in 1981.
No, it's over. It's done.
Well,
all right, you
that.
Two.
I don't really care.
Let's go to Craig, who's in Montpelier. Hey, Craig, welcome to the program.
Hey, thanks for having me on. And that's a tough argument to step in the middle of, and it sort of echoes what I'm hearing in my own head every day. Part of me wants baseball to come back, but another part of me thinks it would just be such a mistake given the bigger problems that we're facing right now. So on that front, I really don't have an answer, and I think it's very telling of how people are feeling in general that you're having this debate right now on the air.
Yeah, I think you're right.
I did want to ask one other option.
Yes. Craig, you have another comment?
Foreign option. Yeah, there's Taiwanese baseball being played, and they actually started up before the Korean League. And it actually is almost as good. Some people would tell you it's just as good as Korean baseball, and they've even gotten to a point in Taiwan where they have 2,000 fans allowed in the stands. So in the period of about a month, they've gone from being the only league playing to now the only league that's playing with fans in the stands, and they're increasing the capacity of fans on a weekly basis. So it's definitely worth checking out, and they've, for the first time in the league's history, provided English commentary for all the games.
If they found a way to do it, if they found a way to do it, we can find a way to do it.
So, Craig, what do they do? Do they have people like 6 feet apart in the stands?
They did initially. Now they're starting to allow family units to stay together, kids to stay with their parents. But at first it was just 1,000 fans, and they were spaced at least 6 feet apart. But the only reason I think they've been able to take that step is that there have been something like either 11 or 12 days in a row with zero new cases in Taiwan. So it's not as if they're operating under the same set of circumstances as we would be here, where you're looking at thousands of new cases every single day, and we'll unfortunately continue to see that through the summer. They were able to contain the virus, you know, the issue, and then they can start to take steps to go forward from that point.
But see, hold it, because you can't say that about the entire country in the United States either. There are pockets, hot spots, where there are thousands of deaths happening every day. There are other places, like Vermont and other places, where it's not at all. So I don't think that make a blanket statement like that is not completely accurate.
No, I see what you're saying there. In places like Montana, they're sort of on the same lines as Vermont, but they don't have the infrastructure in terms of the stadiums and facilities, hotels, and what you would need to put on a baseball season, say, if you were just leaving it in one relatively unaffected area.
But
so I think there's some bigger issues there.
And working our way up if the numbers work.
Well, the coronavirus pandemic has certainly affected all levels of baseball, including the New England Collegiate Baseball League. The Vermont Mountaineers are a very successful franchise in this league, often attracting more than 1,000 fans per game. They play their home games at the Recreation Field in Montpelier. It's a wonderful spot to watch a baseball game. With us right now is the head coach and field manager of the Mountaineers, Charlie Barbieri. Charlie, thanks for being on the program.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for having me. It's great to be here with you guys.
So, Charlie, talk to us about the decision that was made to cancel the New England Collegiate Baseball League schedule. Was it just determined that there was no safe way to do it?
I think that's what really came down to. And you know, the league had been trying to hold out to see if there was any way they can salvage the season. You know, to his credit, the Mountaineer general manager and the board of directors actually about 2 or 3 days before the league canceled got together and decided that the Mountaineers were going to pull out of this season before the league actually canceled. So, you know, they just felt like the risk was not worth the reward and why, you know, potential of any, of anybody getting sick, whether it's a fan or a host family or anybody involved, a player, was just not worth it. So, you know, there were a lot of things obviously taken into consideration. The two big ones were the Mountaineers do draw a lot of players from kind of those hotbed areas. You know, I'm in New York and I live in New York, and, you know, there's been over 20,000 people that have died from COVID here. And there's players from Vermont and again, the Northeast. So you are talking about the hot spot of bringing in players. You're going to ask host families to host these players. And is that really fair to them? And you're talking about, again, host families not knowing where these players are coming from or who they've been exposed to. So that was a big issue. And one of the other big issues was, you know, college summer baseball runs on sponsorships and local business sponsorships. And that's a really big part of how we run. And unfortunately, with this year, a lot of businesses being shut down, it just it didn't seem like a feasible plan to really move forward with.
Charlie, what does the cancellation of the league mean for these players? You know, the New England Collegiate Baseball League is considered to be one of the very best summer collegiate leagues in the country. A number of players from the league have gone on to the major league level and been very successful. What does this mean for these players?
It's hard. You know, there's a couple different levels to that. You know, there are some guys that are coming in and they're trying to be drafted and they're trying to continue their careers at the professional level. And that's an opportunity for those guys that have been taken away. You know, last year we hosted the All-Star game and we had upwards of 50 to 60 professional scouts there watching our players in Montpelier and watching the rest of the league's players. So you're talking about that opportunity kind of being taken away. You're talking about also, you know, we have players that come in who are on their collegiate baseball rosters that maybe are freshmen and sophomores and didn't get the number of at-bats they wanted during the year. And we can offer them, you know, 100 to 120 at-bats in the summer where they can go back to their campus in the fall and feel really confident and now compete for that starting job that they weren't able to last year. So it just takes away, you know, baseball specifically, it just takes away so many opportunities from the guys. And the other part of it is summer baseball is all about, you know, creating family and creating friendships that kind of last a lifetime. And last year I got to experience it with players from all over the country and to see that kind of family mentality and just brotherhood grow is amazing. And to kind of have that taken away as well it's kind of just sad for everybody involved. So, but yeah, a lot of guys it's going to hurt them when it comes down to being seen by professional baseball evaluators for sure.
What kind of impact, Charlie, do you think this is going to have, the cancellation of the season, on the financial health of the league? Will most teams be able to bounce back next year?
I think so. I know, like, for us in particular, I mean, I really can't speak for other teams in the league too much. I know it's been up and down with certain teams over the past couple of years. I know Vermont and Brian and the board of directors have done a tremendous job in really keeping the budget under wraps and kind of staying in the green and just doing a real good job of balancing the budget. I think the league will come back really strong. I think that you're going to have a super motivated bunch of players and coaches and general managers and communities. So I think just trying to look on the bright side and be a half full kind of guy, I think the league's going to come back and put on a really good show. And I think everybody's going to be super motivated. But, you know, I can't speak to the financials of all the teams. But I can tell you that the Mountaineers are going to be in a really good position heading into the summer of 2021.
Charlie, I get goosebumps thinking about what that first home game is going to be like in the summer of 2021 out at the Rec Field in Montpelier with a lot of fans, I think, who will be going crazy and just be so joyful that the team is back.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, I feel the same way. And we were even talking about it with the players this year, hoping we'd be able to get up there and, you know, last year was my first year up there, and the atmosphere was tremendous. And we're talking about some games having 1,500 to 2,000 fans, and they can get pretty energetic, and it was amazing. It was an amazing experience for me. I had coached in the Hamptons League the year before, the summer, out on Long Island, and you're talking about, you know, 40 to 50 fans a game there, and then you come to Montpelier in Vermont in the NCBL, and it's just a tremendous atmosphere there, and I feel the same way. I can't wait to get back out there next year, and I just think we're going to, you know, the fans are going to be rabid in a good way, and hopefully unleash their energy, onto the field. So we're really, really excited to get back up there next year.
Charlie Barbieri is head coach of the Vermont Mountaineers. Hopefully they'll be back in action in the summer of 2021. Charlie, thanks very much for joining us today.
My pleasure. Thanks, guys. I appreciate everything, and everybody stay healthy and safe.
Thanks, Charlie.
Thank you. Let's go back to our callers and talk to Matt, who's calling from Burlington. Hey, Matt, welcome to the program.
Hey, imagine 100,000 fans from their living rooms tied into the speaker system at the stadium through Zoom audio or Facebook audio and screaming and yelling every time their team does something good. I'll leave that discussion to you guys.
I knew somebody was going to bring up the Zoom thing. It's a brilliant idea. Of course, it is also ripe for all sorts of shenanigans of the kind that we have already seen, which would not be good on a national broadcast. But it's an idea. I still don't want baseball being played this year, but that's an idea.
And let me just add in, there are hotspots all over the country, and somehow UVM is bringing all their students back, and they're having to come up with a plan to make that work. So everybody's having to find ways to make these things work. There are people going back to work in Vermont, and there are people going back to work other places as their economy starts to reopen. And just like baseball, they're going to have to find ways to keep those people safe.
This is baseball. This is not this is not a college education.
You're talking about the people working.
I'm talking about people working too, Kurt. This is not a
college. Those people can be kept safe just like other workers.
Kurt, I'm just going to say one thing, and then I'll let it get back to no more arguing and bickering, but I'm going to say this. This is baseball. Ultimately, it's a game. A college education is not a game. Going to work is not a game. This is baseball. And I don't know, there are people that have jobs in baseball, but ultimately this is a game. And we cannot risk the lives of thousands of people for a game that won't even be a real season. That's it. That's all I'm going to say.
I think that they're not risking their lives.
You know, we got an interesting email here from Andrea, who wanted to know whether or not Little League baseball was going to be resuming in Vermont. Andrea wrote that the state of Ohio is allowing baseball, softball to resume and has put together a set of guidelines for social distancing and keeping players, coaches, and spectators safe. And could the similar guidelines be used here in Vermont? Andrea, the governor addressed this issue on Monday at his press briefing, but he really didn't come down with a definitive answer. He did talk about recreational baseball and softball and wondering if there was some way to adapt the game so there wasn't a lot of social contact. I think he referred to it as a contact sport. It's something I think he's going to address later this week or early next week, because there's so many people who are interested in that question at so many different levels. Let's talk to Jane, who's calling from Montpelier. Hi, Jane. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. So I have to say that Mitch has convinced me that baseball should not be played this season.
Appreciate that, Jane. Thank you.
And my question is, if we do have the shortened season, if Mitch and I lose,
I hope you do.
My question is, I've heard that it would be played in like Florida and Arizona. I have also heard it said that Boston would play in Fenway Park, the Yankees in Yankee Stadium. Which are they looking at now?
That's a really good question. I have heard that they are talking about having a shortened season that would be played in different parks. At first, they were talking about just Arizona, and the Florida governor said, come down and play here. Either way, you'd have to have people traveling to those places. But I think the Major League Baseball plan for the shortened season is to play in regular ballparks, which means travel everywhere, which means bringing
limited travel.
Limited travel, but travel. You got to get from A to B, and you've got to test every single person, not just the players, the coaches, the staff, the trainers, the people who work the concession stands. You've both been to Fenway Park. You know how it works when you get a hot dog at Fenway Park. There's 25 people down a line that pass that hot dog to you. You pass the cash down to the vendor.
That's not going to be going on.
You want to eat that hot dog? You eat that hot dog.
That's not going to be going on.
Yeah, I don't think
on.
That'll happen.
You enjoy. Okay,
and
that's
baseball is just a game, as Mitch says. But for the last century, it's been much more than a game to a lot of people. It's meant more than just a game to a lot of people. As you heard the person say about her father or grandfather in the nursing home, that means more than just a game to a lot of people. It's something that people really need for people's psyche. So I think it's a little bit more than just a game, as Mitch is saying.
It's heartbreaking, that situation. And I agree, it's more than just a game to me, too.
I miss it
like crazy.
I think they can come up with a plan that makes it safe, just like they are doing for other people in other aspects of life.
Oh, we haven't seen any evidence of that working.
I'm looking.
None.
Amy,
go ahead.
A season with no spitting.
That's right. It's not going to be any spitting.
Good luck with that.
And if you can't do it in baseball, I mean, baseball is the sport you can do it in because they're, one, it's not like basketball inside, they're outside. Baseball is a sport that you can actually keep players away from each other.
No,
this
you can't.
This is a sport that you actually can do it in. With
Kurt, you know better than that. You know better than that.
No, you two agreed that you were going to agree to disagree on this subject. And just a postscript on the idea of where they would play these games, the mayor of Boston has said there will be no fans in Fenway Park this summer under any circumstances. So if they're going to play in Fenway Park, the stands are going to have to be empty. As we've been discussing, the coronavirus pandemic is having an impact on all levels of baseball, even at the local level. And joining us right now is Mark Bowden, who is the program director for the Brattleboro Heat Fast Pitch Softball Program. Mark, welcome to the program.
Oh, it's great to be here. I listen to this show every year, and I hate to interrupt the debate.
Please do, Mark. Please do.
Now, Mark, usually this would be a very busy time of year for you. How hard has it been that you've had to cancel practices and cancel tournaments? How's it gone?
Yeah, it's pretty easy to answer that. It's not going real well. And, you know, our girls practice through the winter. We use Landmark College down in Putney, and they play. And end of February, we kind of had to cancel it as things were coming up. And then their school seasons were canceled, and getting lots of emails saying, when are we going to be able to start, and saying, nobody knows. And yeah, it's been tough. Usually now I would be doing a schedule. We have a 26-team tournament down in Brattleboro at the end of June. Instead of doing the schedule this weekend, I was writing refund checks. So it's kind of sad. You know, our team has had five tournaments scheduled, you know, in five different New England states this year. And so far, three of them have been canceled, and I'm sure the other two will be as well. So it's tough.
And you really have a regional team, don't you? You draw from a pretty wide geographic area.
Yeah, because of where we're located, we have some girls from Northwestern Mass, and we have some girls from Cheshire County, Keene. We've had, you know, even down in Brattleboro, we've had girls from, and we have girls from St. Johnsbury area. Girls are committed. It's amazing, and it's really encouraging how committed these parents are to their, you know, young female athletes. And you know, so it's tough. It's tough seeing this. I'd trade in 100 Blake Snells to get our kids back out there.
Oh, great.
I would, too.
And it's got to be really tough on the players.
It is. I mean, it's not only, you know, a game for them. I mean, it's a passion. And that's the great thing about summer softball. I mean, we don't encounter any of those cutthroat summer, you know, AAU or any of those kind of things. I mean, this is all fun and good sportsmanship. And girls are attracted to it in the summer because everyone on the team is there because they're committed. They make new friends. They compete at a totally another level. A lot of our girls end up going on to play in college, you know, which is hard to do based on the level of competition just in Vermont. So it is a big thing. You know, it hits on so many levels. Our girls become leaders. You know, it's a great development program.
And Mark, have you lost hope totally for this season, or is there a glimmer of hope that somehow it might change in the next month or so?
Yeah, I think there's hope. I think that what we've been doing, there's a number of programs like ours in the state of Vermont. So we've been starting to get together and talk about a season with no interstate travel. and, you know, what it would be for us to just play each other through the summer. And there clearly are enough teams, and we're real friendly programs. I mean, there's no big rivalries. And so we're starting those conversations. And I think that, you know, right now the biggest, you know, issue is the amount of people that can gather. Because really to play softball, you need 35, and that's without fans, and try to keep parents away. So I think that's really the big issue that we'll get to. In terms of accommodating the game, you just stop using dugouts. There's a program in Connecticut that's put together a real nice layout, you know, of what would be possible. But I think the first barrier has to do with the number of people that can gather.
Mark, do you consider the possibility of playing these games but with no fans in the stands?
Yeah, I think, you know, most coaches would wish it was like that all the time and having no parents watching and yelling and that. But, yeah, I think that depending on the numbers, I mean, you really, even at 50, you know, in the plan for this other organization, they said like one spectator per player, you know, would kind of fit that. And I think that still adds to over 50. So, yeah, I think that may be the reality, is that, you know, I think we'll have to look for guidance from the municipalities in the states. Is it okay if parents are in the outfield or beyond the fence and spread out? And, you know, because girls won't be able to use the dugouts or little leaguers, and, you know, they're going to need to take up some of that space. So, yeah, I think that people are so committed that whatever it takes to do it, you know, people really want to get out there and play.
And, Mark, as you mentioned, this means a lot to the players. They're all probably very good high school players thinking about going on and playing in college. So they don't want this to be a lost season in their development.
Yeah, I think it's the same for the high school season for so many of them. And a lot of our girls are young and not at that point yet. But to play against better players where they, you know, they go from dominating at a lower level to playing with other people where, you know, the ball is actually caught and, you know, it's like real softball and it's exciting for them. So I think that, you know, like everybody, I mean, I think all young athletes, and we just talked about it, and even college athletes, I mean, it's a setback.
Mark Bowden is the program director for the Brattleboro Heat Fast Pitch Softball Program. Mark, many thanks for being on the program today.
Thanks. Good luck. Take care now. Bye.
And we've just got a few minutes left in our annual baseball show. Your thoughts about this short season that Major League Baseball is taking a look at? Give us a call at 1-800-639-2211. That's 1-800-639-2211. Amy, one other idea that's still up in the air is the Lake Monsters, a very popular baseball team in Burlington. They haven't canceled their season yet. They're holding out hope that it still might happen.
Yeah, to Mitch's point, I think whether that's the wisest move,
yeah.
Not sure.
I was actually emailing with Kyle Bostwick, the VP of the Lake Monsters, recently, Bob, and, you know, asking him if there's any update. And he says, you know, they just haven't told us anything. They are still planning on having their season, but he's talking about Major League Baseball and the plans to shut down 42 minor league teams, of which the Vermont Lake Monsters would be one. You know, I guess that's another thing that we could have a whole other show on, which I think is just a terrible idea about Major League Baseball. And I'll bet that I can get Kurt Wright to agree with me on that point.
On that one, Mitch.
Okay, good.
Terrible plan. Terrible idea.
Yeah, Kurt, what have you heard about that plan? That's something you were following closely. Do you think it's still on the table for discussion?
Well, we can't say that it's not. That's the unfortunate part. I mean, I sponsored a resolution to City Council. Not that that has a big impact, but just kind of getting us all on record that we want MLB to jettison that plan, and that we urged our representatives, and they are, I think, doing that, to use all leverage that they have with MLB, and there's some leverage they can use on MLB to get them to see the light about that plan and the damage that it would do to, I think, to baseball in general, doing away with these teams, and the cities, and that it would hurt across the country, small towns that have baseball.
Yeah.
So I hope that if they proceed with that plan, that our members of Congress come down on them.
And Mitch, you could almost see how Major League Baseball, if the season does not start up this year and they suffer some economic losses, how they may use that situation to reduce the number of teams in the minor leagues.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the thing that I was trying to get from Kyle Bostwick when I talked to him was, you know, why are they doing this? And he doesn't know either. You know, the purported reason is that there are some teams like Vermont that are too far away from their parent clubs. And, you know, to be fair, Oakland, which is the parent club for the Vermont Lake Monsters, is 3,000 miles away. But, you know, again, this gets back to my anger at Major League Baseball and knowing that they're not doing this out of the altruistic reasons. This is all about money. And this is a league that does have a lot of money. The people that don't make a lot of money in baseball are the people that are working in the stands and at the stadiums and the people who do all the grunt work. They're going to be hurt economically by this, and this is terrible. But as far as the amount of money the players have, the owners have, the league itself has, they can keep all these minor league teams running, and they will still make a handsome profit. So I don't want to hear anything about that from Major League Baseball. I don't know what they're thinking.
And they'll go back to work just like so many other segments of the country are going back to work and kept safe.
And, Amy, it would be quite a situation if the Major League Baseball Players Association for some reason could not come in agreement with the major league owners, and they started fighting over their salaries for the next 3 months.
Yeah, that would be insane. I think it was the Make It Smart podcast last week where it's talking about millionaires versus billionaires. And of course, the billionaires being the owners and the millionaires being the players. It's a little tone deaf right now.
Yeah.
And what we have to remember is over in Korea and Taiwan, while they're better in terms of the safety, they have a plan in place that we can try to duplicate. And I think that they can do that.
We're going to try to get a very quick call in from Sebastian in Quebec. Hi, Sebastian. Welcome to the program.
Hi, my friend. Thank you very much for having me.
We've just got a little bit of time. What's on your mind?
You know what? I just wanted to add to the debate. I'm a truck driver. I'm a French-Canadian from Quebec, and I cross border at least twice a week. So most of my week is in the U.S., and I listen to you guys all the time. And about baseball, I've been hearing about it for all week now, and I just want to add, let's get it started. Let's hit it already.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to end right there on that note. We'll be watching if the baseball season will return anytime soon. Many thanks to our panel today, Amy Noyes, Kurt Wright, and Mitch Wertlieb. Thank you all very much for being on the program.
Bob, thanks.
Thank you, Bob.
Kurt will have a beer when this is all over. We'll watch a game. It'll be fine.
Stay safe, everybody, as you get back to work.
You too.